People have told stories of the strange and supernatural for centuries. Tales of the restless dead return to haunt the living. Whispers of damned souls doing the devil's bidding on Earth. Rumors of inhuman things that still hunt the old forests, untouched by the glare of modern life. There may be more to these stories than you could ever imagine. Join us tonight as we delve into the deeper truth inside these mysteries.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Realm of the Supernatural, also available on the Paranormal UK Radio Network. Right, today we have a guest on, Long Strickler, who some of you may have come across in the past. He does run the Phantoms and Monsters website, and there's loads of information on there, so if you haven't seen it, go check it out. He comes on mainly to talk about Mothman sightings. Yep, that's still a thing, still going on. And it really is interesting when you start looking at the reports and trying to get your head around it and trying to come up with an idea of what actually is going on, because it runs the whole gambit, you know, from alien to interdimensional being, crypto, you know, some cryptid. It's, you know, all of the above and none of the above. It's kind of one of those, so it's fascinating. Really is interesting. So he comes on to talk a little bit about that. Obviously there's no Andy today. The low astral beings have got him again. You know, he's getting old now. He needs that flu jab, but he won't take it because of the vaccines, you know all that. So get well soon, Andy. And right, without further ado, I give you Lon Strickler. Right, well, first of all, I just want to thank you for joining me tonight.
No problem.
And you're here to talk a little bit about some ongoing cases you're working on, and then some of your own experiences as well. So I thought maybe we could start with, because we're probably going to be talking about the Mothman, I wondered if we could start with maybe your encounter with a Mothman-like being.
Yeah, this was the autumn of 1988. I had bumped into an old friend of mine. I was actually living down near Baltimore, Maryland at the time. So we had known each other when we were kids. We had been in Boy Scouts together and such. I hadn't seen him for almost 12 years. So, but after a while, we got to talking, and he knew that I was into the paranormal. And he had been fascinated for years with the, and I was as well, the ghost sightings and such, all the activity in the Gettysburg area since it was nearby. Well, anyway, he was telling me that, a few of the local Boy Scout troops had been camping at the old Camp Conewago, and that some of the boys had reported hearing crying sounds. And it spooked them bad enough that a lot of them left their campsites early. So they decided that he and another guy who was involved with the Boy Scouts in the area were going to go up there that next weekend and check it out. So he asked me if I was interested in coming up. And I said, yeah, I'd come along. So, you know, I got up there the next Friday, and we met up at the campsite. I mean, at the camp, and we, you know, grabbed the gear and went into the woods up along the Conewago Creek and set up camp. So we set up three tents and had a nice fire going, and it was about, by that time, it was about 7 p.m., so we had just decided to stick around the campsite for the rest of the evening. Now, the first night was pretty uneventful. And though I had a sense something was watching us. I mean, you just get that feeling that something is watching us. Okay. You know, I didn't say much. I kept my eyes open. And these woods are really thick. I mean, especially in the fall. A lot of ground cover, a lot of wildlife. And, you know, so it could, you know, you're always wary about what may happen or whatever, but, you know, I thought for the most part what these kids were hearing were animal sounds of some type that were just being misidentified. So anyway, the next morning, nice cool sunny morning, we decided to explore the woods. Now, we sat down for breakfast. The other gentleman mentioned something about hearing footsteps and movement in the campsite during the night. And my friend had just, he had slept through, so he never heard anything. Though I did hear some footsteps and movement. I just thought it was one of them getting up to relieve himself or something. So I didn't think much about it. But anyway, we spent the whole day in the woods. I don't know how long we or how far we hiked, but we were out most of the day. And, you know, we were just trying to assess the area, maybe pick up some information on what's been going on. But quite frankly, you know, it's just really nothing. So we get back to camp. It was about 6 p.m. by that time. So later that evening, we were just sitting around the campfire and talking. And suddenly, and I guess this was about 11 o'clock, we heard a scream ring out downstream from our location. Now, I thought it sounded like an owl at first, but a few minutes later it happened again, and it sounded distinctively like a child screaming. Now, I couldn't tell how far away it was, lasted for several seconds, and it kind of faded in and out. So we got up, walked a few yards into the woods, expecting to hear the sound again, but it, you know, it was no sound. So we went back to, you know, sat down, and, you know, for about an hour, we didn't hear a thing, you know, nothing. So we just speculated it was something, you know, some of the wildlife. So, but we decided we're going to stay up for the whole evening just in case. So I think it was probably a full moon that night, but I know there was enough light that the woods and the creek were fairly visible. So I'd say approximately about 1 a.m., I was up stretching my legs and I was walking the perimeter of the camp when I suddenly felt like something was watching me. So I just stood still for a while, trying to figure out what was going on. So I walked back and I told both of the guys that, you know, I felt kind of strange, like something was watching us. Why don't we get up and just take a walk down the trail a bit and see what's going on? So we got up, we started walking up the trail, and, you know, we didn't get more than 50 foot away from the campsite. And we all recognized a large dark figure with bright red eyes standing in the creek. Now, the creek was fairly shallow this time. And by the time we got our flashlights on this thing, it whooshed, shot straight up into the air like a rocket. And a few minutes later, we heard another scream as it faded away, you know, as it moved away from us. So we were fairly positive that's what people were hearing. But we hurried back to the campsite and compared thoughts about whatever this was. My friend, he was shook up, and he didn't talk for several minutes until I prodded him to give me an idea of what he thought it was. The other guy was surprisingly calm, and he estimated it was about 6 foot or so, dark in color, and he noticed something extending from its back. And I also noticed the structures on its back. And I commented that I thought it was probably wings, but we never saw the wings open up or unfurl when this thing shot up. It just like, it shot up like a rocket. But we all agreed it had bright red eyes. And, you know, since it jettisoned so fast, we didn't get a chance to get a good look at it with the flashlights. So my friend, he was upset. So he didn't want to stick around the campsite anymore that night. So him and the other guy, they went up to the administration building, and they stayed there for the evening. I wanted to see what was going on, so I stayed at the campsite. I didn't know what it was. And but quite frankly, nothing else happened that night. And at the time, I really didn't know what it was. You know, I had heard of the Mothman sightings back in the 60s, and I was all aware of that, fully aware of that. I wasn't really thinking if that was what this was or something similar to that. But a few years later, I got a, after I started the blog and I wrote this account in the blog, I got a response from a gentleman who lived downstream a bit, upstream a bit. And he was telling me that he had been hearing those screams for over 20 years. He never knew what it was, and he was very aware of it. So that was in 2008. So that was about 20 years after I had my encounter. So not long after that, a scout leader emailed me. It was approximately the same time as I got the other inquiry. And he was telling me that a few of the boys in his troop had witnessed what they described as a dragon. And that it was 6 foot tall with wings and a tail, but it looked like it had fur or feathers. Now, he said the boys seemed serious, but he thought they were just showing off. And he didn't believe what they were telling him until he read what I had written. So since that time, I have been given 5 accounts along the Conewago Creek. Now, the Conewago Creek extends about 15 miles from that area in as it empties into the Susquehanna River. So there have been several sightings on other areas of the creek. So it's obvious this thing has been, you know, sticking in the creek area, along the whole length. And the last sighting that I received was about 3 years ago. So I don't know if it's still around, still going on, but, yeah, that's what I encountered. And quite frankly, I've been very interested in these winged beings, winged humanoids since then.
Yeah, well, I can understand that. A lot of people go either one or two ways. They either see something, you know, abnormal, strange, and want to pursue it everywhere, you know, everywhere it goes. Or they go the other way, where they're just basically going to some sort of denial and don't want nothing to do with the subject. So,
right,
you know, it's weird how that happens. But,
well, I had been a paranormal investigator since the 70s.
Yeah.
I mean, and in fact, and that wasn't something that you heard much about back then. No. It's not like it is now. It seems like everybody in the neighborhood's got, every neighborhood's got somebody who does paranormal investigations. But frankly, I was kind of low key about it. I just went and did investigations for spirit activity and such at individual homes or businesses and such. But you know, I had a Bigfoot encounter in 81 here in Maryland when I was living down there. And then I had this in 88. So, you know, I really got into almost all aspects of the paranormal and supernatural after all those occurrences. So that's led to where things are nowadays.
Indeed. So, you say it took off and was straight up, so there was no sound, there was no flapping of wings.
No, I had never heard any flapping of wings.
No. I mean, looking back on that sighting with today's eyes, what, you know, where do you put it on the spectrum? I mean, from, you know, obviously known animal, we can pretty much rule that out. But where would you put it between sort of, you know, an actual cryptid or, you know, maybe some sort of man-made, you know, exoskeleton suit thing?
Well, I've pretty well ruled out something that's man-made.
Mm.
And I've ruled out anything that's natural, at least on our plane of existence. I believe, you know, and we've had hundreds of sightings of winged humanoids over the years, but the past 2 years, I've collected almost 70 to 75 sightings in Chicago and the upper Midwest, including others in the United States and in Canada. And some of those witnesses noticed that this being would suddenly disappear, like it went through a hidden veil somewhere. So I'm into thinking that this is probably flesh and blood, but it's an interdimensional type of being that it travels through portals and such. And to be quite frank with you, I believe a lot of cryptids are interdimensional beings, as well as possibly non-terrestrial beings, aliens and such, may also be, able to do that as well.
Yeah, well, quite possibly. I mean, you know, obviously you've taken quite a lot of sightings, accounts-wise, and do you ever get, like, a family group of these Mothmen? Because it seems all the ones I've come across, it's an individual.
I only had one sighting out of the whole, all the sightings we've had the past couple of years where there were two individuals.
Okay.
And that was over the over Lake Michigan, where the witnesses stated that they saw two of these things flying around each other. That's the only multiple sighting of multiple beings sighting that we had received. I believe during 2017, when we were getting the majority of the reports out of Chicago and the Chicago area, that there was at least three beings that people were seeing. So there were, I believe, fairly certain that there were more than one.
Okay. And what makes you believe that was the, just description wise?
Just by the locations, the area, how quickly they were moving from place to place.
Yeah.
Which I believe would have been impossible unless they were traveling interdimensionally to place, but some of the aspects, some of the descriptions were a bit different. The way they reacted were a bit different. It was subtle, but I just believe that some areas received more sightings than others. There were a lot of sightings on the lakefront in Chicago, a lot of sightings in one of the neighborhoods, the Little Village neighborhood. And there were a lot of sightings out in the suburbs as well. So in northern Indiana. So I believe that, I believe there was at least three of them.
Interesting. So do you want to tell us, obviously you're still looking into this, and I think that'll come as quite a surprise to a lot of people that this is, you know, an ongoing thing. It's not something that, you know, happened years ago and it's sort of been put to bed. This is still ongoing. People are seeing these quite frequently, really. So do you want to talk a little bit about some of the cases that you've been working on currently?
Well, you know, when this all started out, actually in 2011, there were three sightings in the city of Chicago. They were fairly well noted, and there was some talk about it at the time, but then, you know, all the sightings stopped. Mm. Subsequently, there were a few spottings of similar beings in and around the Chicago, well, mostly outside of Chicago, in other parts of Illinois. But in 2017, we started receiving the bulk of the sightings, and the early sightings were actually very similar to the Mothman that was seen in Point Pleasant with the insectoid type wings and such, the red eyes. And then they kind of, the subsequent sightings were more of the Owlman type, the Lacusa with the owl-like wings and the red eyes. They were fairly consistent on body size, kind of thin body that was 5 to 6 foot in height, and a wingspan that went anywhere from 10 to 15 foot. Very similar sightings. And as time went on, the sightings were of a bat-winged gargoyle-like being. Now, I don't know if these were just misidentifications or these were different beings. I'm not really sure. We've looked into that, and we really haven't made much of a determination if these were the different beings. But we have been, I'd say 95% of what we're getting from early summer of 2017 until now, and I'm just not talking in just in Chicago, have been these batwing, gargoyle wing type beings. And currently, most of the sightings that we are getting are in the central, the northern Indiana area. We have received some historical sightings as well, but we have had some sightings within the past month.
Okay.
So that's what we're working on now. And of course, we're taking any sighting reports from anywhere, quite frankly. But, you know, we had, during the time that this was going on in Chicago, we had three sightings in Pasco County, Florida, and one down in Texas. And there have been several in Texas over the years. And then we had two others in Ohio. And, of course, we've had, since I live here in Pennsylvania, and that's where I had my sighting, we've had several in Pennsylvania over the years.
Okay, so do you want to tell us some of the best encounters? And what's the ratio of people seeing this in, you know, more than one witness at a time?
What's that again?
Would you say it's high ratio of people, you know, witnessing this with more than one person at a time? So it's not like one individual seeing this, this is a group?
It varies. I'd say it's maybe 50-50 where you get, you know, one person or a pair or a group of people. It's pretty well spread out. And, it's the socioeconomic, aspect of the witnesses. It varies. I mean, it's all neighborhoods, all people, all races. We've had a lot of different sightings.
Great. Do you want to talk about some of the sightings?
Well, I think some of the most interesting sightings are, the one in particular I'd say was the sighting by the Chicago police officers, which happened in, this was the email and the report that I received from the police officer. He said, "I'm going to tell you about something that happened to me on the night of June 29th, 2017 in Chicago, Illinois. I am reporting this of my own volition, and I am wanting to stay anonymous due to the fact that I work for the Chicago Police Department, and I do not want anyone else to know that I submitted this report. I've been with the Chicago Police Department for 8.5 years. The only people who know that I submitted this are my wife, my son who encouraged me to submit this, and my partner who also was witness to the incident. I want you to know that I am of sound mind and health, and I don't want any publicity other than just reporting this incident. Now, I also want you to know that I'm not prone to fits of fantasy or hoaxing anything that I've seen, especially while I'm on duty. Now, on the night of June 29, 2017, at approximately 11:15 p.m., my partner and I were on routine patrol approaching the intersection of West 81st and South Throop in Auburn Gresham neighborhood of Chicago, Illinois. We were flagged down by a group of people who were pointing up to the top of an apartment building that was on the corner. We pulled over and they immediately started telling us to look up at the building. Many of the people were very frightened and were very excited about seeing what they had seen. Now, my partner and I look and see a large creature that was approximately 6 to 6.5 foot tall and very thin. If it had been a human, it would have been emaciated. This thing was standing on top of the building and had what looked like a pair of very large wings that extended out at least 8 to 10 feet from the tip to tip. No discernible features. It just looked like a dark black shadow with wings. Now, my partner and I both thought it was somebody trying to jump in the building and maybe wearing a costume of some type. So when we both shined our flashlights to try to get a better look at what we were dealing with, this thing took off into the air and flew away. As this creature flew away, headed in the southern directions, something sounding like a scream came from it, and within a matter of 5 seconds, this creature was gone into the night. The people who initially flagged us down had said that many people in the neighborhood had seen this thing for the previous 2 nights, and this just happened to be the only time that it was seen in a stationary place. Now, we stood there stunned as this thing flew away and disappeared in the night. We stood there and talked to the group of people who flagged us down, taking information down and any information regarding previous sightings from the nights before. We initially were doubtful about filing a report because we thought we would be made fun of for seeing little green men. We finally filed a report, as we did not want to violate protocol. Nothing was ever said about the report being filed, and as of right now, it's been business as usual. We wanted to file this report because after I told my son the story, he went online and showed me that this is not the only setting of something similar being seen in the city. I showed my partner the day after the sighting, and he said that he didn't want to be involved. And as far as he was concerned, it was nothing more than a large owl or big bird that was misidentified. My son was the one who encouraged me to file this, and I do it anonymously to protect my identity. I know what I saw, and even though I have no explanation as to what it truly is, I know that what I saw was flesh and blood. I am a Christian man who believes that there are things to come that come from other planes and stalk the people of this earth, and that only one's faith is what protects us from these things. I know that my faith is strong, and therefore I am protected, and I hope that I never see this thing again. Thank you very much for your time, and have a blessed day. Now, the interesting thing about this was, this wasn't really the only police officers who had seen this thing over the time. We had talked to other police officers who did not want to make reports, but they were aware of these sightings. Also, I had about a week later, one of the citizens who flagged the police down, contacted me and pretty well said the same thing about the sighting. We had contacted the city on several occasions about seeing the report, and we had filed Freedom of Information Act request, but each time we were told that nothing was filed. But the funny thing about that was, when you file a Freedom of Information Act request, it usually takes several weeks to get a reply. We were getting these replies within days.
Yeah.
It kind of seemed they were waiting for it to come in to get right back to us.
Yeah.
I had talked to several people who worked for the city, including police officers, and one of the witnesses later on worked in City Hall, and she told me that the mayor's office was definitely aware of what was going on, but they were trying to tamp it down as much as possible. And, you know, during this investigation, we had no cooperation with the city at all. We tried to get a security companies in the areas of the sightings to show us video. They did not want to cooperate at all. So, you know, this investigation has been all of our own volition and was done primarily, you know, by talking on the phone to people or having boots on the ground with other investigators that work with me in the area.
It's interesting that private companies don't even want to be part of it. You know, don't want to get involved. So,
well, it doesn't surprise me. Mm-hmm. I guess it's, you know, liability issues may come into effect. But no, you know, if it's something that has nothing to do with what they do, they won't help, you know. That's just the way things are.
Yeah, it's funny how CCTV footage seems to go missing at, you know, convenient times for these people as well. But what about actual, you know, attacks? Has there been any attacks on people?
There have been some encounters that seemed somewhat aggressive.
Okay.
We had people. Well, we had an earlier. I had an earlier report from a few years before this. I believe it was 2015, where a couple were chased by one of these beings while they were in their car. It was in the city of Chicago, and the woman who was the passenger, when she got out of her car at home, this thing did attack her and left a pretty good gash on her back. I never saw any photographs. I never talked directly to the witness. This was by a friend of their son who recounted everything. The parents were, they just wanted to keep it quiet. I had now during the spat of sightings that we had, some of the encounters in the little village area were somewhat aggressive, where this thing would be seen. The witnesses would try to run away and this thing would take off and land in front of them. They took it as aggressive.
Yeah.
Like there was another
stopping them leaving almost.
Right. There was another sighting where a couple were in their car and this thing landed on the hood of the car while they were in a parking lot and acted as if it was trying to get at them, but because of the windshield, it wasn't able to do so. That type of thing. I mean, no real attacks, but there was some aggression.
Hmm.
Now, we had had encounters, very close encounters. We had a couple who had run across this thing as they were their mother's condominium. They were out walking that evening, and they saw this thing fly in front of them. They took off toward the entrance to the condo, and it slowly descended in front of them and hovered in front of them. Their reaction was that it was a same size as the other sightings, the bat wing type thing, but it hovered in midair, and that it caused the woman to actually lose control of herself, and she fell to the ground. Very dramatic. Other people had seen it because they noticed that at least one camera flash from across the street. So people had seen it. We tried to get, now since it was close to the entrance of the condo, we tried to get information, tried to get cam footage, security cam footage from the condo. And of course, again, we got no cooperation at all from them. There was another very interesting encounter that took place in a town called Bolingbrook, which is west of Chicago. And this was a phone call that I received as soon as the woman had got back home after her son and her had gone back out to look at this thing. They came back and she called me right away. Now, I had been advertising on, you know, putting ads out for sighting reports. So people put in their you know, winged humanoid or flying whatever, you know, my ad would come up. So my contact information was there. Well, anyway, this was an interesting encounter because it took place in the playground area of Indian Boundary Park, which is in Bolingbrook, Illinois. It's a southwest suburb of Chicago. And the witness, which was the woman, states that she was had normal routine of walking in the park at night. Now, on Wednesday, August 2nd, 2017, at approximately 10:30 p.m. local time, the witness, who wished to remain anonymous since the area is a fairly tight-knit community, she was in the playground area of the park when she came upon a 7 to 8 foot tall being standing in the middle of a pathway. Now, the witness initially thought that this was two people embracing, but was surprised at the height. She also noticed a sucking and slobbering sound coming from the being. She felt like she was being drawn to the being, as well as feeling a sense of foreboding. Now, when she grabbed her cell phone in order to capture a photo, she was shocked when the being slowly turned towards her. She was overcome with fear. She quickly realized this was not two people embracing, but a single tall, dark humanoid. The witness got the feeling that somehow knew that she was going to take a photo and then reacted. She mentioned that she felt like she was being lured towards the humanoid. The being had exceptional broad shoulders and looked like it was wearing a thick, black, unknown material. The head was human-like, but quite small in size. She was within 15 feet of the being, but never noticed any eyes or facial features. There was enough moonlight available, so she was able to get an excellent look at this being. Now, she immediately took another pathway in order to get away from the being, but soon started to experience intense weakness and fear. She had to sit and gather herself on one of the benches while keeping an eye out for the being. Eventually, she got to her feet and quickly followed another path home. Now, when the witness arrived at her home, she relayed the experience to her son, who recommended that they drive back to the park and see if the being was still there. Now, as they approached, they drove around the location. Then the son noticed a large dark shadow emerge from and stood up by a nearby bush. He stated that it peered at him, though he didn't see any eyes or face. He just knew that it was watching him and that he was overcome by intense apprehension. They quickly headed home. When they arrived home, they were both very scared, upset, not knowing what to do. Should they report the incident to the local authorities or remain quiet? Eventually, they went online and found my contact information. When I talked to the witness, she was shocked at the number of sightings in the Chicago metro area. She had no knowledge of any of the previous incidents. It was quite obvious that she was still very scared and was afraid that the being may know where she lived at. And I asked her to keep in contact me, if, you know, she thought of anything else or heard of any other sightings. So that was quite interesting.
Well, that little bit there at the end where she says she felt like it knew where she lived. I mean, that's a strange comment.
That's something we heard from some of the other witnesses.
Yeah.
And it's interesting with this phenomena. When we got witness reports, and in particular when I would talk to people on the phone, and I talked to, I'd say 80% of the witnesses by phone, they stuck with their story. And that isn't normally what happens when you get a cryptid sighting or such. You know, I would try to get them to embellish on the sighting, but they stuck with their original sighting report. That's unusual. So they were so shocked by what they saw that, you know, it left an impression. You know, the one big question that I got from a lot of people was, well, why didn't they take a photograph? You know, everybody's got a cell phone. Well, there are reasons for that. First of all, the shock value of it. These sightings overall were fairly fleeting. They didn't last for more than a couple seconds. By the time they got a phone out and in the direction, you know, that thing was gone. Most of the sightings were at night. And that also was a problem. We did get one indiscernible photograph, was a daytime sighting. But, you know, we just didn't get the, we just weren't able to get much photographic evidence. We did have people draw sketches. And for the most part, they were fairly consistent with these batwing type beings. So,
I think the mention of the suit, the almost like Batman style suit that this creature was wearing, does have some, does go along the lines of if you go back to the old Spring-Heeled Jack reports, you do get this mention of him wearing this almost like spandex suit, very similar to what Batman would wear, the original Batman. So. I don't know if there's a link there, but seems.
Well, we've looked into a lot of that, and from what we determined, and by some of the maneuvers this thing did when it was flying, there's just no way this is human. I mean, just no way. In fact, some of the sightings were right downtown and along the river, and they don't call Chicago the Windy City for nothing. And the fact that it was somebody in a suit jumping off a building, they would have gone splat somewhere instead of flying off and doing maneuvers up and on top of bridges and underneath bridges and such. The flying was fairly complicated and, something that a person in a suit wouldn't be able to accomplish.
The fact that it operates within our physics, going back to that, the couple that had it land on the car, was there much damage to the car? Because I'm presuming that, if it operates within our physics, which it seems to, then we presume that it would be very light as a being, wouldn't have much weight to it.
Well, there were scratches on the car.
Yeah.
This is another thing about me believing that they were different beings, because in that case, the being had detached arms. It had its own arms attached from the body and was attached to the wing. But we also had sightings where the arm and the wing were attached to each other.
Yeah.
So, we got both type of reports.
Okay, but going back to this sense of dread and foreboding that people feel for him, you get that with other cryptids, like the Dogman, for instance. A lot of people say the same thing, when they see it. A lot of people, one of the words that people use to describe it the most is evil. It felt like an evil coming from it. And with that lady there where she says she felt like it knew where she lived, a lot of people feel that with Dogman. And obviously there's quite a few encounters where people have this thing turning up on the property. So, does that happen in Mothman sightings?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, some I'd say early on, especially, the people, the witnesses would state that they had a sense of foreboding. Like this thing was individually separating them as far as the sighting goes. And there were all, another interesting thing about this were, a lot of times these things showed up in crowds, and it didn't seem that it seemed that not everybody was able to see it.
Yeah. That happens in UFO cases as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if it has the ability to cloak itself somehow or, from other people and it intentionally allows others to see it. I don't know if that's the case. It does seem that way. But
Go ahead. Sorry, so I was going to say, do you get the sense that it's almost doing, it's almost showing itself to people to cause, unrest within people? You think they get some sort of enjoyment out of that?
Yeah, and that's similar to what happened with the Mothman sightings.
Yeah.
It seemed like it was, you know, it was there to specifically make sure that it was seen.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, you know, that Harbinger theory was said to, was, you know, was part of the lore of the Mothman sighting after the bridge collapsed and 46 people passed away. So, you know, when you talk about what was going on in and around Chicago, that's, you know, people were familiar with the Mothman and the Harbinger or portent of doom type of scenario or thoughts that accompanied what happened in Point Pleasant. And I'll be quite frank with you, in July and August of 2017, I was getting literally 20 to 25 calls per day from people who were asking questions as to what I thought this thing was and if they were in danger. They didn't see it, but they were concerned about it.
Yeah. Well, they say they didn't see it. I guess.
Well, they say they didn't see it.
Sort of a male, because it's not something that you readily share.
You know, and, you know, the number of reports we got seems like a lot, but I'm quite sure there were a lot of people that never reached out to us.
Yeah, because, I mean, this is not a rural area, is it? It's not, you know, we get sightings here of a black cat.
Yeah.
You probably heard about it, and, you know, it's quite a rural area, and still people see this thing, but, you know, in a major town or city, you know, there's always eyes. But then again, a lot of people go through life without ever looking up.
Well, that's right. They're too worried about looking at their cell phone. You know, I believe that. Well, and I know that these sightings in Chicago, this was actually the first time something like this has been seen in an urban setting like this that we know. But I'm pretty sure that that's the case.
Yeah,
I don't know of any other type of, really, quite frankly, any cryptid that was seen in this number in an urban area like this. So, these are historical sightings, in my opinion. I mean, you know, it's something that really hasn't been known before. So, you know, this, I don't know if it's something that's going to continue, going to show up in other areas, but, you know, the fact that we're still getting sighting reports and that they remain fairly consistent, I tend to believe this is something that we're going to be dealing with for a while.
It's interesting that it comes in waves almost. What about missing time? I mean, does that crop up in these cases?
No, we haven't had any, that I can remember, any missing time scenarios.
Okay, that's interesting. So, you know, are you working on an alien abduction case at the moment? You know, is there much details you can share about that case?
Well, I've been working on, I have worked on several alien abduction cases over the years. The one in particular that I've worked with since 2010 has been the David Eckhart encounters and abductions. This is a gentleman, his family, who experienced multiple abductions, sometimes up to three times a week in their home. And he had made many attempts to report to MUFON and other reporting agencies, but they just never really paid much attention to him until I finally decided to look into it, contacted him, and quite frankly, it's been a saga since then. I mean, this is something that he's been dealing with, though, that, you know, he didn't have the consistent encounters from around 2011 up into the fall of last year, 2018. But for whatever reason, and he does live in another house now, he has continued to this has picked up again. The thing is, this time around, they're different beings. And these beings are more human-like as opposed to the grays and the reptilians that he encountered previously. These beings, for the most part, don't leave. I mean, they come in, it almost seems like they come in shifts. They come in and out. There's a portal in the area of the bedroom that he has taken videotape or recorded. We've got hundreds of hours of video, but it's just it's hard to discern some of what is going on. It's an ongoing thing with me. I'm actually writing a book now about alien encounters, and David's saga is going to be a part of that book, plus other investigations that myself and my colleagues have been involved with over the years.
That sounds interesting. So I'm presuming from that he doesn't enjoy these encounters.
Enjoy?
Yeah, because you get people that you know, look forward to abductions, almost like some sort of spiritual.
Well, I can't say that about David.
No, he's, that doesn't sound like
he's kind of frustrated over the years. This is something that he enjoys, I'd say. He's somewhat frustrated. They have done a lot of things that haven't helped him.
Yeah.
He's at the point now. He really wishes it would stop. I mean, it's kind of cramped in his lifestyle. It's caused us problems within his family and such, and he's kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place, so to say.
Indeed. What makes you what's your inklings as to why the shifting beings?
I don't know, and he doesn't know either. I don't understand that. I don't know what's going on.
Does he get the sense that they're working together?
Oh, I do believe they are. Yeah. I mean, these humanoids, and they remind you humans. I mean, they evolved humans or some type of humanoid being. They do work with reptilian beings occasionally, because some have shown up as well as also tall and smaller grays. This doesn't seem to be separate sightings. These are coordinated. They seem to work together somehow. Yeah. The communication, the earlier sightings that he had experienced, the earlier sightings and abductions he had experienced, he was able to communicate for the most part through telepathy. But for some reason, these beings do not want to communicate with him. And it has really left him frustrated. And that's something that he's attempting to bridge the gap now, but so far it hasn't been successful.
But
he has obtained some very interesting video and some screenshots and such, which I have presented on the site and I have presented on the blog and all. But like I said, it'll be part of the book. It's, I'm going to give our theories out as to what's been going on. Quite frank, I couldn't tell you right now what it is. This is an ongoing thing.
So during all your research then, has there been any times where you're, you know, you've almost shifted gears on a certain creature. There was something that you didn't believe in, now you do, or something you didn't necessarily believe in, but now you do. Has there been any of those sorts of moments?
I believe my thoughts on the alien question has changed over the years. I'm an actual experiencer myself. I have had 3 encounters during my lifetime. I had 1 abduction that I know of. I have been shown a lot of different things over that time. But now, I had nothing. I had seen or had experienced nothing until I met David. So they explained to him earlier that when I started becoming involved with examining what was going on with him, that I was made part of this. And, you know, I didn't believe that at first until I had the first encounter. Then, you know, seeing's believing, you know.
Oh, indeed. Indeed. Well, I want to thank you again for joining me tonight.
No problem.
It's been interesting. I see, you know, obviously all the cases and, you know, and your knowledge is second to none. So, yeah, we'll look forward to that book as well.
Well, I appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, no worries. Is there any links that you would like to share before?
Yeah, the phantomsandmonsters.com is the blog link. All my books are on Amazon. You know, you just search my name and it'll come up.
All right. Have a great day, and thank you very much for joining me.
Okay, you take care now.
Cheers, mate.
Bye-bye.
So thank you very much to Lon there. Like I say, very interesting guy. Loads of knowledge. You know, look at the Phantoms and Monsters website. There's tons of stuff on there. We'll definitely have to speak again, maybe cover some of the other subjects. So look forward to that in the future. Okay, we're going to be running a T-shirt competition. It's available via email or Facebook. So if you're interested in getting one of our T-shirts and you would like to get one for free, then this is the place to do it. All you got to do is go onto Facebook and there'll be a post there. All you got to do is just tell us which one is your favourite episode, and hopefully, you know, at least a line as to why. Same on email. If you don't have Facebook, and I know a lot of you don't, then feel free to email us the answer to that question. And then everyone that enters, even if people say the same episode, that's fine. Anybody that enters will be put into a draw, and next week's show will reveal the winner. So, hey, it's a free T-shirt. I think it looks pretty cool. So if you want one and you want it for free, come on, why not, you know? I don't know why you wouldn't want to buy one, like, if you want one for free. So that's the way to do it. So thank you very much for joining us tonight, and have a great week, and we will see you on the other side. Well, thank you very much for listening to us tonight on the Paranormal UK Radio Network. Realm of the Supernatural is available as a podcast, so search iTunes or Stitcher or your favourite podcast app for Realm of the Supernatural podcast, and you'll be sure to find us. Don't forget to subscribe, and if you're so inclined and you're able to do so, please leave a review. We appreciate them very much. It helps us out a lot. That being said, we will see you. That being said, have a fantastic week, and we will see you on the other side.
Well, they've gone. No, just for now. It wasn't the right time for us to meet. But there'll be other nights, other stars for us to watch. They'll be back.